Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Pneuma Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
Let's go to Psalm 42, verses 1 through to 11. As the deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul is thirsty for God, for the living God. And when shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night. And while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God, with glad shouts, songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you downcast, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I again shall praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me, therefore I remember you. And from the land of the Jordan and of Hebron and from Mount Mizra. Deep calls to deep, and at the roar of your waterfalls, all your breakers and waves have gone over me. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night, his song is with me. A prayer to the God of my life. I say to my God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? And why do I go on mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? And as deadly wounds in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. I don't know if you remember, and maybe you haven't been in church long enough, but there was a song that used to get around, and it was called As the Deer Pants for the Water. If you're old school, you'll remember it, and it'll instantly strike a chord within you. But I can remember this song growing up as a kid in church, hearing this song, and it had a huge and profound impact on my life as a child. But I kind of, in funny imagery in my head, associate the deer panting for water like a little deer just on the side of the river, just like little licks, you know. And it kind of was for me, I don't know, there might be even an image that'll come up as a part of it, but for me, the deer panting at the water was just this cute little deer panting at the water. But you know, this deer was at the water because of a place of drought. The deer was at the water for a place of drought. Now, the deer had come so far and so long to get to the water to find times of refreshing. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen anyone thirsty, but I tell you what, they're not just like little sips. Like the deer panting at the water. It's like glug, 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 panting. Now, I'm probably not doing an injustice to this, like in any way, form, or shape, as I try to lay out the picture, but I remember as a kid experiencing moments of drought in the natural. I grew up in a country area in my teenage years in which we prayed for water every week at church. We prayed for the drought, we prayed for rain. And I can remember my dad explaining to me about what drought was, because we would go into church, we'd pray, and we'd walk outside and we'd go, it's raining, the drought's over. And God's like, dad's like, not quite, not quite. But drought is a prolonged shortage of water. It's hard to know when it's ended or when it started. And its initial effects of drought are difficult to identify right away, and it may even take weeks or months to determine. Now, I can remember as a 16-year-old going away with my family to a place called Lake Hume. It was a caravan park, and we would go there every year because it was right next to the water. And we would go there, and everyone would get out their boats, and it would just be an incredible time of camping and caravanning. I don't know if you call it that, but like as a 16-year-old, it was brilliant, right beside the water. And it was awesome. And there was this big Hume Lake that there was a tree in the middle of and that we would swim out to and dare others to swim out to because it was so far out and then you'd have to swim back. considering it now, it's probably a little dangerous, maybe not so smart, but we did it anyway. But when it was about 5 years later, we went back to the same place to stay. And when we got there, all the water had gone. The tree was standing on its own. And as we walked out, you could see the cracks on the ground that indicated drought. And see, the thing is, drought is a product of rainfall deficiency. Rainfall deficiency. And meaning that Australia, we have such a highly variable rainfall that our nation ends up in drought quite often. Some farmers have seen more years of drought than they have seen years of harvest and fruit. But you know, drought just doesn't appear. Drought happens because of a rainfall deficiency. And a rainfall deficiency means less rain than usual. It means lacking or inadequate or a shortage of rain. And less rain than usual means less runoff from the rain, which means that river levels fall and water storages drop and the soil becomes drier, which is why you then have the end product of cracked ground. And interestingly enough, a lack of water doesn't just affect an individual, it affects communities. It reduces the productivity because farmers can't do what they need to do because they don't have the water. And it leads to a loss of income or a loss of provision for communities and for individuals. But it puts a strain on communities and it puts a strain on marriages. It puts a strain on families and it creates challenging and difficult times. Now, when we think of drought, it's easy just to think, oh, that just affects this area because we just plumb our water down and we don't have to think about it. We just turn the tap on and there's water there. But drought affects a nation. And in the same way, rainfall deficiency happens because of less rain than usual, our soul thirsts for God when there is less engagement with His word or His presence. And we call that word deficiency. We call that presence deficiency. You don't just wake up tomorrow and go, oh, we're in drought. It happens over a prolonged period of time. Like I said, it's hard to know when it starts and when it ends because the initial effects of drought are hard to identify right away. And you know, Psalm 63 verse 1 says that my soul thirsts. And Joel chapter 1 verse 2 says that the brooks were all dried up. The reason why this deer was panting is because there was a drought happening. And the reason the psalmist indicates to a deer is because of his own experience. So in this passage, we're not just dealing with dehydration of a moment. We're dealing with drought. We're not dealing with just dehydrated Christians, but really Christians who are in drought. How do you recognize these things? Well, the psalmist, the indicator here for this passage, we need to know the psalmist. We need to understand the why, the where, and the how, the context of this. The psalmist, the writer of this passage, is one of the sons of Korah. He was a worship leader. Now, the worship leader is saying, as the deer pants for water, so my soul longs for you. He's indicating an experience that he is in reflection of, knowing that he is in the same place as this deer, that there is a longing inside of him, and that there's a drought that's begun to grow. And the question is why? See, he was meant to go to Jerusalem for the festivals, but for whatever reason, couldn't go and was grieved in his heart. Now, you and I are different. We have the presence of God. We have access to the word. We have access to worship. We have access to anything at any time because of the time we live in and the presence of God being with us because we are post-Christ. But he's pre-Christ. So when the only place you can go to is the temple to worship the Lord, I mean, this guy's like stuck in COVID, y'all. Yeah? Like, presence deficient, word deficient. And it's no different to you or I. And he felt like God had completely forgotten him. In this passage, he bounces between despair, and it's almost like he's schizophrenic. He's bouncing between despair and he's bouncing between faith. There are moments where he's like, he knows who God is, but yet his circumstances say different. And he's fluctuating. Have you ever been there? And the pain from separation from God and his sanctuary was actually tearing him apart. And he recognized that for himself, he was beginning to feed off his grief. He was downcast in his soul. What is a soul? The soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. Now, we live in a society that is very strongly dictated to by its soul. They live according to their feelings. And in the New York Times, there was an article that spoke to this and said this is the most prevalent generation that lives according to how it feels, because there is no moral set, there is nothing to stand upon. We as Christians have the word, but when we are word deficient, we have a problem, because we begin to live by our feelings. What does that look like? Oh, I don't feel like getting out of bed today. Oh, I'm tired, or I feel sick. There's no greater place to be than in the presence of God in these moments. But we live according to our feelings, and it creates for us a tension, because what happens is a prolonged period without a drink leads to dehydration, and dehydration leads to drought. And the thing is that this gentleman in this passage, as he's unpacking his own desperation, he brings to a point in verse 3 of 42, he says this, "My tears have been my food day and night. And while they say to me all day long, where is your God?" And the psalmist recognizes that he is now at a point of feeding off his feelings. I want to say to you today that we need to stop living by our feelings and start living by the word of God. Because our feelings will lead us down wayward paths, whereas the word will always lead us down straight paths. And word deficiency in our culture, when we live by our feelings, is that we live by the word less. We live by the presence of God less. And we start to live by how we feel. And the thing is, we need to stop feeding our feelings and start feeding on his word. I want to read with you Psalm 43, which flows on from Psalm 42. Now, you need to understand that these two psalms were written together as one, and for in reasons in the psalms, they've been broken into two to separate them, but they are actually one psalm, split into two thoughts. They are unified in their approach. Now, this is what he goes on to say. He says in verse 1 of 43, he says, "Vindicate me, O God, defend my cause against an ungodly people. From the deceitful and unjustful man, deliver me. For you are the God in whom I take refuge." He again is mulling over this. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go about mourning? Because of the oppression of my enemy. Verse 3, "Send out your light and your truth, and let them lead me, and let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling." Send out your light and your truth. He brings himself to the word of God and says, I have to start to live by his word. And see, when we live by God's truth and by his word, it looks different to our feelings. Because he felt like God was far in his time of need. But God says he's never far. The word of God says in Isaiah 41:10 that we shall, let's just turn to it because we can, 41. It says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand." And then Hebrews 13:5 says that he would never leave us nor forsake us. And Psalm 46 verse 7 says that the God of the Lord of hosts is with us. He is God Emmanuel, God with us. So if we live according to our feelings, I don't feel like God is with me. I don't feel like God is close to me, but yet we are so far from what the Word says, we start to live according to our feelings and not what the Word says. We become word deficient. We become dehydrated Christians, which leads to Christians in drought. And this is interesting because what the psalmist did through verses 3, verses through to 5, he goes on to break it down in Psalm 43 here. And he says, in verse 3, he came to the word. In verse 4, it says this, "Then I will go to the altar of God and to my exceeding God, my exceeding joy. And I will praise you with a lyre," not like the lyre a person, lyre, like as in an instrument. Let me just clarify that because that was something that I had a conversation about that we created an interesting conversation. Anyway, it is an instrument and it brings worship. Then he says, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God." So verse 4, he comes full of faith with sacrifices of gratitude. Despite his circumstance, despite his feelings, he comes with gratitude and celebration and with a procession of praise. And he says in verse 5 that he didn't give in to his feelings. "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him." He didn't give in to God when he answered his prayer. He aligned his feelings to the word of God. You know, I imagine when he aligned his words to the word of God, he was thinking around Psalm 30, verse 5, where it says, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning time." There is always a morning, but sometimes the night is long. But he made progress. He went from the living God in the earlier verses through to the God of my life, to the God of my exceeding joy, to the God, my God. And he shifted his focus. It was no longer on himself and his disappointment or his circumstances, but it was on who God was and who he knew him to be through his word. I want to say to you today that thirst can only be quenched if you come. Let me say that again. Thirst can only be quenched if you come and not complain. See, we get really good when we live by our feelings that we first ring up our friend or our family member and complain about the situation or the circumstance or the way we feel about it. Now, I'm not negating your feelings because your feelings are real, your feelings are valid. But if we live by them, we're going to end up in drought. And I love what happens here because in this passage and then on in another passage, I'm going to show you, it's okay for you to complain to God, but it's not okay for you to complain to your friends before going to God. See, because if you live by your feelings, you go to your friends. If you live by the word of God, you go to God with your complaint. He hears your complaint and he sits with you in your feelings. And he comforts you with your feelings. Psalm 55, verse 1 through to 2, let me just show you what that says so you can understand that. It says, give an ear to my prayer, O God. Hide yourself not from my plea and from my mercy. Attend to me and answer me. I am restless in my complaint and I moan because of the noise of my enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they drop trouble on me and in my anger and bear grudge against me. My heart is in anguish within me, for the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling have come upon me and horror overwhelms me. Have you ever been there? Sometimes I feel like I am so justified in the fact that I can complain because of my situation and my circumstance. Sometimes there is stuff that happens in our lives that you're like, I have every right to complain because this sucks and this doesn't look like the word of God. This doesn't look like my God coming through for me. Like, come on, can we be real? Like, seriously. There are situations and circumstances in my life that I've been praying for things for over 25 years and they still haven't happened. There are things in my life that I prayed for 5 minutes ago and God answered in a moment. I can't explain the ways of God. But I know this, He is who He says He is. And He is way above what I feel because His word tells me that He loves me, He'll never leave me nor forsake me. His plans are for good, to prosper me, not to harm me. And although it feels like they're harming me, I know that I can trust that He will work all things together for good because that's what His word says. I don't know about you, but today I need reminding of who God is. I need reminding. I need to remind my soul that no, I will not live by how I feel. I will live by what His word says. Very good. Very good. And I can only find my thirst quenched if I come to Him and sit with Him in my complaint and not feel like I need to go to my friends and complain with my friends before I've gone to Him. Now, I will go to my friends and I will talk to them about what's happening and I will ask them to pray with me according to what I know His promises are in His word. But I'm telling you right now, if you don't come to His word, you don't know what His promises are. You can't depend on Luke to get up here and give you a new promise every week. That's not how this thing works. If you do that, you're a dehydrated Christian. You're going to miss out and you're going to end up being the deer panting by the water because you're like, oh my gosh, I can't survive. Because He says that He is the river of living water. He is the source of water. In Isaiah 55, verses 1 to 2, He says, come to me, all who are thirsty, and I will fill you. I will satisfy you. I love it. Psalm 36, verse 8 says, you give them drink from the river of your delights, for with you is the fountain of life. He is the source. But how often do we come to Him to drink and to find living water? Waters that will satisfy. It's in the daily drinking that we find hydration. Secondly, this thirst can only be quenched if you drink and not defer. Thirst can only be quenched if you drink and not defer. You know, one of the greatest challenges in life is to make space and time for the presence of God. It's easy to defer. I'll do it after because I have to go pick up the kids or drop the kids or if I have to go to this and that, I've got this meeting, I've got that, that. There's always a reason to defer. But deferring leads to dehydration. And dehydration leads to drought. Like I said earlier, you don't see drought happening until the soil is dry and you can't do anything with it. And the problem is with that, my dad sat me down at the river, at the lake that time when I was there, and I was asking, where did the water go? Why? It's like, because people are consuming more than the deficiency. And often our lives run at such a pace that we are out working and using that which is given to us. And there's not enough because we're not at the source. And as Dad sat with me on the water, I said, well, can I just give my water bottle and fix drought? Like, and literally poured my water bottle out on the ground and the water just fell into the cracks and it disappeared. And my dad said to me in that point, he's like, one bottle will never be enough to fix what's been done. It's going to take seasons of rainfall. I don't know where you're at right now, how your relationship is with God, and if it's dry and if it's weary, or perhaps even you're just parched and you're not even dehydrated yet, but you're parched. I'm telling you this, there are seasons that God wants to take you into where the presence of God will come and restore and fill storage places. Because the problem is when drought happens, like I said before, you end up with river levels falling. You end up with storage levels dropping. And you end up at a place in which there's not enough to sustain any life. And that's not the way God wants it. And He says, come to me. Come to me. Let's turn to John chapter 7. Verse 37. 39, it says this: on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone is thirsty, come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Do you know you're meant to have rivers flowing out of your life? God never intended you to be a place of drought. He intended you to be a place of a river, a source of living water, that source being him flowing in and out of your life. Now, this is what he said about the Spirit, and whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus were not yet glorified. The benefit, the blessing of this is we're post-Christ. Holy Spirit has come. He is the source. He has everything you need, and we have full access. But are we drinking? Are we opening up our word? Are we spending time before the presence of the Lord? Or are we in a place of word deficiency and presence deficiency? Because over time, that will lead. It will lead to dehydration. It will lead to drought. And I don't know where you are, but I know this. It's not his intent that you be there or that you stay there. You remember the story of the woman at the well, John chapter 4? She has a conversation with Jesus. Jesus unpacks before her and says, "Hey, can I have a drink?" And he reveals himself as the source of living water. And he said to her this in verses 10 through to 14. He said, "If you knew the gift of God, who is that is saying to you today, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Goes on and says, "And whoever drinks of this will never be thirsty again." See, the problem is we're dehydrated Christians or we're drought Christians. But the source has never run dry. You and I put up dam walls. That prevented the source from flowing, whether that's through offense, disappointment, despair, discouragement, busyness. We put up dam walls. I'll come to that later. And we're wondering why the river's dry. But there's a whole waterfall flowing of living water ready to come in to dry places. See, in the seasons of drought, or in the seasons of flood, I should say, in country Victoria, what they used to do is they used to hold back the water and only let out portions at a time so it didn't flood into cities and into towns. And they literally lift up the dam walls and the water would flood through, and you would see the river water levels go from down here to like right up here. And I believe that's what God wants to do for you today. I believe God wants to unlock the dam walls. He wants to allow the water to come back down and flow through to the places in which you are dry, the places in which you are deficient, and allow your life to be rejuvenated. And I'll tell you this, it's not once off that is going to fix this. It'll quench your thirst for a moment, but it's the continual coming back to the places of living water that you're going to find restoration, and you're going to find places of refreshing that are going to leave you filled to overflowing. Jesus said this in verse 14 of John chapter 4. He said, "The water I give him will become a spring welling up to give eternal life." It wasn't just the thirst of a moment, but a thirst of a lifetime that God was going to fix with the welling up and the spring gushing forward. The Bible says that it wasn't just a well that you go to and you put a bucket down and hope that it gets down there somewhere and find some water and you bring it back up and go, "Okay, now I've got my water." No. This spring is a spring gushing up. It is a well gushing up. That's what's available to you and to I. And her response was this: "Sir, give me this living water." She was so desperate. How desperate are you for God? How desperate are you for his word? How desperate are you for his presence? Because I don't know about you, but I've been through seasons in my life where dehydration has got the best of me, where drought has gotten the best of me. I've been in seasons in the past where it's like I normally would have that time for God and, I had to cut it back and take half an hour to 10 minutes. And all of a sudden, that became a pattern. And then I wondered why I was dehydrated or exhausted. or not functioning as I felt like I should be functioning. You know, I just recently went to a wedding on the weekend, and there was a moment at this wedding and where they, at the end of the wedding, they just went into worship. And the moment they went into worship, the place just erupted. It was only a group of maybe 40, 50 people in this room. And when they started to worship, something happened in that moment where the power and the presence of God was so tangible, so real. And I was like, oh God, oh Holy Spirit, you're so here. And there are moments like that that I have encountered where you're like, oh man, if I could just live here. And then there are the moments of just pure discipline. But I've worked out in my seasons of ups and downs and different moments, been frustrations and tensions with God, and that I can't actually live off those moments. As a kid, I used to go to kids camp, youth ministry, and you have those moments as like, presence of God, oh, and then you come back down to reality. And but you know, I don't mean to be rude when I say this, but you can't live off a climax. Not in your marriage and not in your relationship with God. You can't live off it. Those moments are so precious and so profound and so incredible and intimate. And with God, they are amazing. But you can't live off that. You have to live off the daily discipline, the daily routine, the daily usual things that you do, and enjoy the moments that you get. But you've got to input in order to be able to drink and to find places of refreshing. And I know this. I know this to be true in my life, that thirst becomes desperation. And just as it was with this woman at the well, it started with dehydration. Her life was a mess and she was broken, and she came to the well at a time when no one else could see her and find her. It's a whole other story to unpack in that. But needed water, came from a place of dehydration that was leading to drought. And I can tell you this, that thirst is a desperation that starts with dehydration. I don't know where you're at today, but water deficiency over time becomes drought. And I want to finish with this. At the end of last year, I got so tired and so exhausted and couldn't understand why. I was doing all the right things, going to the gym, working out, eating good foods, had my God time, my devotion, but I was just super exhausted. And I was like, God, what is wrong? So I decided to go to a doctor, went to a doctor, and the doctor took some bloods, came back and said, look, you don't have any major worries, cancers, diseases, or anything like that. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Didn't think that was going to be the case, but thank you. And he said, but you do have an iron deficiency. I was like, oh, okay. And he said, have you ever, you know, had iron tablets before? I said, oh, vaguely can remember some time back when they gave me tablets to take. And he said, yeah, look, your iron levels are so low that we're literally going to have to give you an infusion to bump it up, and then we'll give you iron tablets to follow it up. And he says, look, it's really important that if you don't want to end up coming back here for another iron infusion, you're going to need to take these tablets regularly and daily to keep your intake up. I was like, okay, cool. Now I had that moment where I had the iron infusion. They told me all my strength was going to return. I was really excited about it. And I just was kind of waiting for that moment. Like as soon as it went in, I was like, here we go. It's going to come. It's going to happen. I'm going to feel great. It didn't happen instantly. It happened over time. Can I ask you to stand to your feet? In this moment right now, God is present. He loves you. And this is part two of A Soul Restored. Pastor Luke last week preached, and this is a follow-on from that, because this is how your soul is restored. Now, I'm not telling you that when you come to here, everything's going to be fixed, but I am telling you this, start somewhere. If you need an infusion today, come and get an infusion. If you just need another daily take of the tablet of the presence of God and the Word of God too, in order to stop yourself from getting to word deficient, presence deficient, and being a dehydrated Christian or a drought-struck Christian, make a decision today. And as the deer pants for the water, why don't you today pant for him?
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.